Now, here's the big question. Look into the future for a moment.
Yes.
What will we look like? What commands will occur 50 years from now, 100 years from now?
Well, we do modify our physiology to accommodate its uses, but will we dramatically change? I doubt this very much, because the evolution I think that we're going to see is not the evolution of individuals. It's the evolution of the community of individuals. So think about it this way. I said like 3 billion years there were just these single-cell organisms all roaming around taking advantage of the environment best they could. Then all of a sudden they started to come together in a community, and the community was the sharing of awareness between all the cells, which gave them greater opportunities for survival. Now just look at us as humans, that we have over the years started out as a whole bunch of individual cells all over the place, but have grouped ourselves into these communities. The thing that we lack is the evolution is not going to change us. What it's going to do is change the nature of how we interact as a community. So in the end, humanity will actually be like the living organism, and we are the cells. You and I and all of the listeners here are cells in a larger organization. And when that completes that level, the Earth is then in essentially a complete harmony. That's when the Earth represents a cell, which in the fractal imagery that we're talking about here will then link up with other cells to create an intergalactic organism, so to speak.
Of all this that you've studied so far, and now I want to get into the creation portion of this in a moment with you, Bruce, but what fascinates you the most of what you believe you've uncovered?
Well, the thing that fascinates me the most is that we're more than who we think we are, that we were told this throughout history, that we could do the miracles and marvelous things, but we couldn't do them because we didn't believe in it, and that to take us from the world that we see now, which looks like an individual on a deathbed almost, we can have a spontaneous remission in a planetary sense. And in that process, by using our awareness and our consciousness, which we are just like idling and not really going anywhere at this moment, with that input by people who know who they are rather than being told they're victims, we have an opportunity to bring life back to this place and turn it back into a garden from what almost looks like a deathbed itself. And I just want to talk to just the audience a second about this, is that while all this stuff is coming off and it's very glib and off the top, this is very much scientific information, and it's presented on the website, and it's available for downloading, you know, the articles and references that I put on there. And I just want to say that, and the same thing about the book, but the book is really designed for the lay audience reader. It took me 20 years to take the science out of it, turn it into everyday language, because that's who needs to understand it, and also add a few laughs with it as well.
Well, you know what's fascinating to me? I've got two camps here that listen to the show. There's a group that loves paranormal, the UFOs, Bigfoot, things that we do like that. There's another group that equally loves real science, and I'm going to put you in the real science category.
Yeah, but I'm
except,
the paranormal guy. Because...
Well, hold on. That's right. I'm going to bring you into the middle as well.
Yeah.
Because you skew both because of what we're going to be talking about tonight.
Absolutely.
And that's what I like.
Yeah. For me, it's a delight because I'm going into realms that when I was in my conventional scientific shoes, I never would have imagined that I'd actually be talking about in realistic understanding.
Okay, now, the signal that is coming to these cells,
yes,
that kicks it into high gear, that tells them, hey, this is what we need you to do, this is who you are, and off they go to work, sometimes in tandem, sometimes not. What do you think's out there?
Out there? You mean outside of our skin?
Oh, way out there.
Way out there. I think that we're living in a pulsing energy field involving chaos and fractal geometry, very important part about it, and this work really leads to a scientific understanding of why nature is modeled in a fractal. And so that I'm not just saying nature is fractal because it looks like it. I'm saying it's fractal because of the design of how you expand awareness, that skin, how you make skin a two-dimensional thing into three-dimensional space requires that you use fractal geometry. And then why am I bringing that up is because, as most of the listeners might be aware, I mean, in fractals, there's self-similar images that repeat themselves at higher or lower levels of organization. And what's beautiful about this new biology is it reveals that, as I said at the beginning, every cell is like a human. It's got every ability that we have, a cell already expresses. So the image of a cell is actually reproduced in the image of a human. But then the image of a human is a cell in a larger living organism called humanity. And why this is neat is that if you really need to get to some fundamental questions, you could look at any particular level and using the fractal self-similarity, get some information about who's out there and what's going on in that sense. And I really get excited about it because I so firmly see this outside other reality existing. Interesting, in the recent times, a large number of patients have received large grafts like heart-lung combinations. And there's a number of books, and I have references in my book and talk about a little bit of it, is that when they receive these grafts of organs, they don't just receive the organ. They also begin to acquire the character of the person who donated the organ. In one sense, one of the examples was really interesting. A man who received a heart from a woman who was murdered was able to identify the murderer after he took the heart.
See,
into his body.
I love stuff like that.
And then you might say, amazing. But this is the beautiful part because it's like, okay, now let's put the science and this paranormal together and say, so where the heck, how did that information come down there? Where'd they get that? And some people have, you know, would say, oh, it's cellular memory. Well, look, I'm a cellular biologist, and I tell you this, cells like a liver cell, have, you know, remembering it's a liver cell is a big job, you know. The idea that it can remember chicken McNuggets and beer is not really a scenario that makes sense. But if we look at those antennas that are on the cells of the graft, they're still connected to that source. And so as long as the cells are downloading an identity, they are connected to that field of that identity. So it's interesting, these experiments, or they're not experiments, they're actually people whose lives were saved by these transplants, become experiments in that they also now acquire character because now their population of cells has a very large contribution from another identity.